CII Radio, embracing Africa, one city at a time.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome back to another edition of Bumper to Bumper. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Jamil. How are you today on this lovely spring
salam.
Day?
Yes, salam. Spring day.
Yes.
Yeah. Do we have spring in this country?
Yes, we do.
Really?
Yeah. They. You get load springs. You get.
Yeah. I get you, Zakasho. How are you doing?
Yes, I'm fine. Alhamdulillah. And yourself? It was good. Other than the bad news I had at the beginning of the week.
Yeah.
On Tuesday morning, I came out of the house and I found a lot of traffic in our road. And we live on a very quiet street, so it was very, not disturbing, but you know, it was...
cause for concern.
Yes, cause for concern. Mm. So we drove down the road and we saw the road was actually blocked.
Okay.
They had blocked off the road, so we had to go around. And we came around and we saw this taxi was like squashed, basically.
No, so what is it, an accident?
It was an accident, and apparently it happened like in the early hours of the morning.
Multiple vehicles or just the...
There was quite a few vehicles there as well, but they were already clearing the scene. Okay. And this was apparently 2 or 3 hours. It took them like about 6 hours to clear the scene or something.
Sure, I hope there was no fatalities or major injuries.
I'm not sure, but I did find out that one of our security staff at the complex was injured in that accident. So apparently his whole face is distorted, his eye he can't see out of, and so he's been off, you know, the whole week.
Yeah. You know, talking about motor vehicle accidents and things, we actually had one quite close to home in Lodium. There was a cyclist who got knocked over, and such an unfortunate event, but the guy who bumped him actually drove away, and the cyclist sure. actually passed away. So, I mean, it's such a, you know, the roads are dangerous places, definitely.
So we hope everyone is safe this week, traveling safely around. Just be careful on the roads.
Yes.
Yes.
You know, the thing is, even when you're driving, you're forced to drive for others as well.
Yeah.
You know, it's a situation where it can never be like, oh, it wasn't my fault. A lot of times, yes, we get away with a bumper bash or something, but a lot of times it's also very serious.
Yeah.
So we literally have to drive for ourselves, for others, you know, make sure your vehicles are roadworthy, make sure you are in a good condition to be driving, not tired, not angry, not playing with your phone, not trying to hook up your phone to your Renault Clio. But that's
you need, I see a lot of people still, till this day, you're talking about playing with your phone, that still play with their phone, and I mean, and answer their phone.
Mm.
Most cars have Bluetooth now.
Yeah.
We're living in 2023. Yeah. There's hardly any cars that don't have Bluetooth.
100%. And even then, I mean, you can, if it's an important call, you can make use of your phone's loudspeaker.
Yes.
I mean, there's so many ways around it. But yeah, and something that really irks me is when you see people driving with headphones. I can't deal with that. I'm not sure how. I mean, like you're saying, majority of headphones are now noise cancelling or
yes.
whatever it is. How do you drive not hearing what's happening around you?
Yes.
There could be an ambulance behind you trying to pass
exactly.
you. There could be a car hooting. There could be. There's just, you can't do that.
Yeah. I don't know how, if that's even allowed, if it should be allowed.
No, I don't think it should be allowed. Not at all.
Yeah.
But look, we're starting the week off on a rather somber note.
Yes.
But, let's talk about what's happening the rest of the show, what's happening.
So today on the show, we have Michael Pashut.
Yes,
he's going to be talking retro rides.
Yes.
So that's quite exciting.
This is one for the Ford fans, if I'm not mistaken. He wants to talk Ford. So if you've got any Fords or, you know, you grew up with Fords, your grandfather, your father had a Ford, something that you can talk about, please let us know what vehicle it was. A simple WhatsApp to the WhatsApp line is going to be amazing. Let us know what Ford you like, what Ford you had, what Ford your father, grandfather, anyone had.
And send us pictures also.
We love the pictures.
Yes, like you Uncle Shiraz sent us.
You know, I was thinking, we just jumped on and we said Uncle Shiraz.
Yes.
How do we know it's Uncle Shiraz? Because that vehicle was it had like some nice views.
Okay, so brother Shiraz.
We don't know if it's Uncle Shiraz because that vehicle was done really nice.
No, it was
tasteful, but nice.
Mashallah, it was.
Mashallah.
Yeah. So that's
what else are we talking about this evening?
We're talking the citron or citroon. How do you say
citroon?
It? Citroon.
French. Yeah.
Oh, citroon.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Okay. Citroen C3.
Yes.
Okay.
So. Funny thing is, you were driving it last week.
A couple of weeks ago.
Okay, I'm driving it this week. So we've chatted about that. Let's you know, unpack. Let's give a detailed thing about this vehicle. I'm just going to say I quite like it.
Okay.
But we'll get deep into it, right?
Yes, we'll have a debate.
We'll have a debate, yeah.
And you'll have to rebut at the end of it.
No problem. Last week, big week, Festival of Motoring.
Yes.
Ziad, how was Festival of Motoring for you?
Well, from the public side, let's talk the public side. We won't talk about from us as a media side.
Yeah, yeah.
But from the public side, I think it went off very well.
Okay.
In terms of, you know, the halal food was there.
You know, normally, right, you go to these events and us halal guys, we stuck with chip and dip, you know, like hopefully something. And
sneaking a sandwich.
Oh, sneaking. 100%. This year, I think the halal food was really catered for. There was a lot, right?
Yes.
So even if you weren't like, you know, a full-on car fanatic or fundi, there was things to see, there was things to do, good food, entertainment in terms of the art labs. If you were lucky enough to drive in or get to sit into one of the vehicles for art lab, I quite enjoyed it. I thought it was a nice show.
Well, I was there the whole weekend.
You
Thursday,
sure
Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
You were a little, I'm sure people thought you worked there.
They always do. Because I'm there when they start and then there when they take down everything.
Did you have to take down the banners and stuff?
Yeah, we had to. So my son just loved the play area. So we spent the Sunday just there.
Right.
He was there the whole time.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let's just get this. You went on Thursday,
yes.
You went on Friday,
yes.
Saturday and Sunday.
Yes, I did.
Okay. So you are the right person to ask us. What was your highlight of the whole Festival of Motoring 2023?
So there was a few highlights. So like you said, there was the hot laps. I think the hot laps for me was a different experience. I say different because whenever we go on these tracks, we go in these high performance cars. And here we went in some of the passenger vehicles, but you know, like the Abarth 695 and that Alfa Romeo. And it was a different type of experience.
Yes.
And you could see how those cars actually perform. I mean, you're not going to be driving that fast on the road. You shouldn't be driving that fast or the way that...
But I guess it's also just nice to know that, hey, this car has it.
If you are in an emergency.
If you are in... But even then, if I'm not mistaken, I think it's Swarkop's racetrack. They have something called Super Tracks where you can actually take your vehicle. I'm not sure what the cost is. But the only prerequisite is, I think, a driving license and a helmet. And you pay your entry fee and you can do hot laps with your own car, drive it, you know.
They have it. I'm not sure if they have it at Desi Raceway as well, but I think Red Star as well.
I think that's something nice. I mean, people are buying high-performance vehicles. There's no way we can use it. We don't have an Autobahn. We don't have a Nürburgring. But I think it's a nice initiative to get people to actually use their vehicle, you know?
Yes, that is so that was a hot laps. The 4x4 track was also quite nice. We got to test out the Gladiator and the Grand Cherokee.
Yes. Okay, so let me ask you, right? There was a few really nice, call it 4x4s and Bakis and stuff at the show. What was your favorite?
I think the Gladiator was
okay.
Was there, was up there.
Right. So let me put it to you this way, right? For me, the baddest Bucky was the Gladiator, especially the one that was on the Jeep display, right?
Yes.
It had like 200,000 rand worth of optional extras, you know, upgraded suspension, bigger wheels, bigger tires. It amazing.
But right? It had no doors.
But they took the doors off. Do you know something? Let me tell you something. If you want to remove the doors and roof from a jeep. You know, it's like a process that takes like 20 minutes, half an hour.
Is it?
Yeah.
Literally, no, I know the roof. I know the roof, but the doors.
So the doors are literally hinges, okay. Right? And there's like one plug that you just pull out, and the plug is basically for the speaker and, you know, whatever else electrical stuff is happening. But yeah.
So you just use an Allen key and then you take it.
That's it. Basically, yeah, I think that's it. But let me tell you, the most surprising bucket for me was it's either between the Peugeot Landtrek.
The Warrior.
Yes. Or the GWM P-Series. I think they had like the top of the range. It was a black one that was there. What is the top of the range called? Do you know?
I forget now. It's LX or something.
It was such a stunning looking bucket. But also the Peugeot, I mean, pricing, it's so right.
Have you driven the Landtrek or the...
I have, yeah.
You have?
Yes.
And what's your thoughts?
I liked it. It's not as refined as, like, for example, an Amarok, but it's also, like, almost half the price. Okay, not half, but, like, a good 100,000 less, you know?
But you know what their whole thing, what their advantage is? That they came in using the SUV technology from their 3008.
So let me tell you something. Buckies that don't feel like a Bucky, I never ever liked them. Because, I don't know, maybe because back in the day, a Bucky, when you started, the gear knob needed to shake. I don't know if you know what
yes,
I mean.
Yes.
And now they're literally cars. I mean, they race cars with a loading bay and they can pull 3 tons. But I always liked a Bucky that kind of felt like a Bucky. You know, it's a very like a male thing. I'm driving a Bucky, you know.
So you enjoy the Mahindra then?
Listen, I need a little bit of comfort. But the Mahindra is not bad. The new
one.
No,
there's a comfort.
Yeah, yeah. Did you see they actually... they had some pictures. It was like spy shots of this like Dakar looking one. Did you see that?
No, I didn't see that.
Okay, we're going to talk about that after the break. But also after the break, we've got Michael Pashut. He's talking all things retro Fords. So if you have a Ford love, or you know, you knew someone who had one, maybe it was your neighbor, someone. We're going to come back and we're going to chat to him about Fords. Let's break for an ad and we'll come back and we'll speak to Michael.
CII Radio, embracing Africa, one city at a time.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome back to Bumper to Bumper. You're just in time for Retro Rides with Michael Pashut. Good evening, Michael. How are you doing?
Good evening, Jamil. I'm excellent. What an excellent spring day, and hello to all the listeners.
Yes, a lovely spring day Friday. It doesn't get much better than this, right, Mike?
100%. And we're going to have a bumper-to-bumper show, and I'm looking so forward to talking all things retro.
All things retro. Michael, are we talking about Ford today?
Ford, a wonderful brand, and a more wonderful brand in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, in my opinion, than it is today. And I'd love to know what the listeners think about that comment.
100%, 100%. Mike, tell me, what are some of the standout models from Ford in the 70s, 80s, and 90s? So you're looking at two people who are born in the 90s. I think Ziad is pushing 80s.
80s.
Yeah, 80s. But you're gonna be doing a lot of educating tonight.
Excellent. So I was born in 1973. So when you talk about the 70s, 80s, and 90s, I was a teenager in the 80s and a young man in the 90s. For me, the absolute standout of the time is two names that are no longer around. And I want to talk about the no longer around part, Escort and Cortina. If I say to you Ford Escort, Ford Cortina, what do you know about those brands?
So funny thing about Cortina, it was my father's first vehicle. It was a two-tone. The body paint was like a beige. It had a roof that was dark brown. And I remember this distinctly, or like I remember seeing about it. I remember hearing about it. But yeah, that's as far as Cortina goes.
So it's interesting that you say the roof was dark brown. Do you remember it wasn't painted dark brown? It was a vinyl roof.
Correct.
I mean, we talk about the term vinyl roof. If you talk to somebody from now who knows about cars, I'd say, are you talking about the inside? Are we talking about Alcantara? What are we talking about? But I absolutely loved the Ford Cortinas in the 1970s and 80s. But something interesting for me about the Cortina, you got that vehicle in a 1300, a 1600, a 2 liter, a 30F, then the XR6. And the reason I mention it like that is there was something to aspire to. You started at a 1300 with the same body, and you went all the way up to a tuned 3 liter. What car today gives you that engine variation? Nothing.
100%. And all along the same body lines, eh?
100%. That's exactly it. The difference in weight between a 1300 and a 3 liter would have been essentially the weight of the engine. And then something for me that I want to talk about after we talk about the Escort is just how a badge needs to remain constant. Ford Escorts, what do you remember about that badge?
So obviously when it comes to Escorts, I think the thing we all jump to is it the RS? Is it the Cosworth? Is that a... am I thinking of the right vehicle?
100%. So interesting. So the entry level there again was a 1300. Then you had the 1.6 GL, which wasn't fancy. That was for mom to take the kids to school. And then you had the one that everybody wanted, the 1600 Sport. If any of our older listeners remember, they used to have an ad, 1600 Sport. It was just, we used to hear that come on. I was like, man, I want a yellow one or a green one or a red one or a white one. It was such a mean machine.
Right. And tell me something,
Ford Capri,
I'm saying Ford Capri, that was like also a very big name, right?
Oh, the Ford Capri was like the equivalent of a BMW M3, the two-door. It was a Ford that only the elite could aspire to. In South Africa, right, it came in with a 3-liter V6 engine, and in Europe, they used to have the 2.8i fuel-injected. But that was the creme de la creme, that car. Oh, amazing.
Right. And tell me something. Was the XR8, was it available in South Africa?
Not in the Cortina range, but it was available in South Africa in the Ford Sierra. So in 1985, the top of the range Ford Sierra was the XR6. And then they introduced the XR8 in limited numbers. And that was actually for the racing circuit, competing with the BMW 745i at the time. I think if I recall, it was Willy Hepburn or Ben Morgenrood that actually drove the XR8. Unbelievable. But you want to hear something incredible, Jamil? 5-liter V8. How many kilowatts would you imagine that car would have been putting out? 5-liter V8. You think it's a monster, but how many kilowatts roughly?
I would hope more than 260.
Not even close, 160. That just shows you technology. I mean, a Golf GTI 2-liter today, 180, 180 plus, a 5-liter V8, 160 kilowatts, I promise you. Crazy.
Yeah. But Mike, something I want to touch on is you mentioned something about brands and, you know, naming and stuff like that.
Absolutely. So something interesting, if I say to you or any of our listeners, name four cars today that were around in the 1980s. It could be a Toyota Corolla, the name is still around. It could be a Hilux, it could be a BMW 3 Series, it could be a VW Golf. That's what I talk about, continuity. 1980, you could buy that car, you still buy the same nameplate today. When it comes to Ford, when it comes to Mazda, when it comes to Nissan, sadly but true, and I hope their marketing teams are listening, what Mazda, Nissan, or Ford that you could buy in the 1980s can you buy today? Not one.
Yes.
And that is why I always talk about continuity. You have a Polo, the new Polo comes out, you want it. You have a 3 Series, the new 3 comes out, you aspire to it. There's not a Ford or a Mazda or a Nissan. And that's the reason these brands, in my opinion, do not sell. Look at the only Ford today that's doing well in real numbers, Ford Ranger. Am I correct?
Correct.
And the Ford Ranger badge, has been around for, I think now, maybe roughly 15 to 16 years. It's that continuity. But Nissan, they used to have the hard body, then they came to something else, then they talk about the Navara. It's a reason nobody aspires to these cars, because there's no continuity. And it's important, and it's important for marketing teams to understand. People love, what's the right word, consistency and something they can relate to.
Most definitely. No, I definitely see. In terms of one nameplate that has kind of, you know, brought forward from, what's it, the 60s, I would think? Is it the Mustang nameplate?
Mustang. Oh, absolutely. As you said, from the 60s, I was going to say Mustang. But the interesting thing about a Mustang, you will never hear a person say, I own a Ford Mustang. They don't need to say Ford. They just say a Mustang. It's like if you drive an Audi R8, you don't say you have an Audi R8. You say, I've got an R8, I've got an M3, I've got a GTI. That is the most underrated car. And I must tell you, Jamil, until last weekend at the Festival of Motoring, I, believe it or not, had never been in a 5-liter Mustang V8. After going in one, a manual one around the track, amazed. Did you get the opportunity to go in it?
So I didn't get an opportunity, but it sounded amazing. I mean, you know, it was just, it brings back a time of motoring where, unfortunately, we don't have that sort of sound. You know, everything is a lot more, you know, like made up. It's electronic and sounding.
Modern cars, I believe, are becoming sterile. But for the audience that is listening, the Ford Mustang 5-liter, whether it's in this coupe or the soft top, around the 400,000 to 500,000 rand mark today, you can find quality, low mileage vehicles. And if you're looking for the proverbial bang for your buck, unbelievable. Yes. You will not do better than that. I think everybody's going straight on to the websites and to see what's available.
That's it, Michael. So your advice tonight is, if you're looking for a thrilling vehicle to drive with a heritage and a good name, Mustang it is, and it's the 5-liter. It's definitely not the EcoSport, right?
No, not the 2.3. Definitely the 5-liter. But what I love about the Mustang, it's accessible. When I say accessible, you're going to service it at a Ford agent. It's not going to cost you an arm and a leg. It's most definitely not a high theft risk or hijack risk. I mean, yes, it's going to draw a bit of attention because it's a good-looking car, makes a bit of noise, but it's not going to draw attention for the wrong reasons. So I hope Ford South Africa is listening to us and saying thank you to everybody for the shout-out to them.
100%. Mike, before we let you go, I have one question that I had on my on my Instagram today. Do you think a Mazda MX-5 is hot, or is it not a cool car?
So it's interesting. You know, you talk about the cool wall on the top gear. So it's very, very interesting. What very few people probably know is that is the best-selling roadster of all time. Introduced in 1989. I think it's in its fifth incarnation now. Is it a lovely car? Absolutely. I say it respectfully. I think it's more of a lady's car than a man's car. What it does lack for me is performance. Remember, it's a normally aspirated 1800, 2-liter, 1600, depending on what incarnation you're talking about. I don't know if you're aware, Fiat made a very similar vehicle with a 1.4-liter turbo.
So
it's based on the Miata. So the Miata is the name they used in North America, but based on that, very, very nice car. Obviously, it hasn't quite got the brand cachet that the MX-5 has, but if you're looking for a nice driving car, unbelievable. If anyone wants to go onto the All Things Motoring website, have a look at our episodes. We've done quite a few inserts on the Mazda MX-5. Beautiful, beautiful car, as long as you're not looking for performance.
Okay, so a nice Sunday cruise, maybe RT's back roads, and you're going to be happy.
100%. But I really appreciate the opportunity, and always a pleasure to be on your show. And I wish everybody the very best for a lovely sunny weekend.
Definitely, Michael. Always a pleasure having you on our show. We look forward to speaking to you again, not the following week, the weekend after, right?
Correct. 2 weeks from tonight. Same time, same place.
100%. Mike, enjoy your weekend. Thank you so much. Eh?
Appreciate it. Good night to everybody. Thank you, Jamil. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, so there we have it, Ziad. If you're looking for a vehicle that's going to get you a little revved up for about 500,000, a Mustang 5-liter it is.
I would really like that.
You would?
Yes.
Yeah, I love it. But like I said, you know what? It's quite a... It's also like a manly car. It's a Mustang.
And the Mazda MX-5, talking about that, Nabia enjoyed it.
Really?
So my wife really enjoyed the MX-5, especially that a hard top goes down so quickly.
Yes.
We actually, I think somewhere on social media we posted it, how quick and seamless it goes up and comes up.
I quite like the MX-5, I won't lie to you. I do agree that it's lacking a bit of power, but the thing is, it's a very enjoyable drive.
Yes.
It's really enjoyable. But on that note, let's come back. Let's speak Citroen C3, a vehicle that we've both had some time behind the wheel. Let's go for an air break, and when we're back, we're talking Citroen.
From our headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa, to the rest of Africa, this is CII Radio Live.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome back to Bumper to Bumper. If you missed the first half of the show, you missed quite something exciting, because Michael Pashut told us all about the 70s, 80s, and 90s Fords.
You know, as much as, you know, we cram so much of info in that time with him, I think we need to go back and touch on it, because I'm actually getting messages from listeners. I've got this one. It says that they've had 3 Ford Cortinas in their family. Father, uncle, and uncle, and it said it used to skid in the rain and on wet roads. So Ford was never ever known for their handling. I think back in those days, obviously things have improved in technology, and they learned how to kind of deal with the suspension. But it's nice looking at pictures as well. Here's some pictures of the vehicle.
Okay, that's a Cortina.
That's a Cortina, yeah. You can see this picture was taken a while back. The number plates are still yellow.
In the Transvaal.
In the Transvaal. But a vehicle very different to a Ford from the 70s, 80s, or 90s is the vehicle that we both spent time behind the wheel. It's the Citroen C3. Ziad, firstly, you're shaking your head. Talk to me. What do you think of the car?
I have mixed feelings.
Okay.
Okay, so price-wise, we'll start with the price. We always leave the price till last, but let's start with the price today. So 230,000 for a vehicle is very affordable.
Right.
I mean, that's like one of the cheapest cars.
Yes.
Okay, if we're not counting a Bajaj Cute.
That's not a vehicle. That's not a car.
It is a car.
Yeah, but like, I mean, you know.
It goes like 60 k's an hour.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I mean, it's not a car to be taken seriously. Okay. Let's be real.
Okay. Right? Okay. So in terms of that, it's very affordable, right? It's a good runaround car.
So just to get people up to speed, it's competing with what? It's competing with a C3, I mean, a Swift, a Vivo.
No, not a Swift.
Yeah, a Suzuki Swift, yes.
It's competing with the Espresso. It's in line with that.
No, man.
Yes.
Espresso is like 160.
Yeah, but that's what it's...
How much is a Swift?
It's over 200.
So this is over 200?
It's not the same car.
Of course, it's the exact same car.
You think so?
Yes. It's okay. The same car. I think so. I think it competes with... I can just double check for you. I mean...
Okay. No, if... Okay, so then... Okay, so you're saying it's competing with the Swift. With what else? You're saying it's competing with the Vivo.
Yeah.
Okay, what else?
Vivo, or is it okay? Etios is it no longer?
No, Etios is no longer. Okay, so you're putting it in that category.
Yeah, I would assume that's where it goes.
Okay.
Look, it's not as small as, say, for example, Espresso. This car feels very big, like for the size it is.
It is a bit bigger. Okay. I won't say it's that much bigger.
Okay.
Because you're talking about Vivo size and Vivo price. I mean, this is like
this does compete with a Vivo and a Swift, and I'll tell you, if you look at just size-wise.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, but then let's talk about the features-wise.
Okay.
Okay.
Right.
So features-wise.
Okay, let me tell you, there's two things. I won't say that I don't like, but that I'm not entirely happy with.
Okay. Right?
The first is the boot. Yes, it has a substantial size boot, but it's a very deep boot, right? Now, fine, you in this vehicle, let's look at who it's aimed at, right? It's obviously aimed at, call it a young professional, you know, someone who just landed their first job. They want to look very stylish and get to work. And you're not hauling, you know, big cartons and major grocery shopping and all of that. But I find that the boot is very deep. So if you need to get a heavy box out of it, you have to do this thing where you have to lift it and then get it out of the boot, which is not always ideal, right?
Okay.
And then number two, it's silly. It's a very small, silly thing. The lever that needs to open the bonnet. Did you look at it?
Yes, I did.
The entire car is so stylish and, you know, there's like little trims. Like, what is that? That lever is like no thought. It was like they literally bought it from like a off-the-shelf type of thing from like Midas or whatever. And they like stick this in here.
But they had to cut costs. And okay. They did cut a lot of costs.
Okay, so let me ask you a question. And I like to have this debate because it was the same situation with the buttons in another vehicle when I spoke to them. They said, no, listen, the reason why these buttons are poor quality is because we're trying to keep cost low. My question to you is, if you had to change that button, right, across the entire vehicle, let's say it would cost 1,000 rand more for every button to be a decent quality, say 2,000, is that going to affect the price of a car that costs 500,000?
But you see,
if you had to call an expensive, you know, bonnet release, it would cost 500,000. Would 500 affect your choice when you're looking at a car for 250,000?
It could.
500 bucks. Chances are, no.
Okay. But, you see, like we said, remember the previous generation C3, which we had a debate already that I said this should be called like a C1, not a C3, because it's a totally different car. It's
like
even manufactured... It's manufactured in India, by the way. It's not, yeah. So they've now shipped it out to manufacture that car in India, and they've done away with a lot of, I won't say extras, but more comforts that they had in the previous. Did you drive the previous generations?
Yeah, but also again, we're gonna have that same debate because I don't think you can even compare.
That. No. So if you look at that, that was almost 300,000, right? So they've knocked off about 70,000 rand. And we're talking about not only knocking off 70,000 rand, we also have to worry about the inflation. So relatively speaking, we knocked off close to 150,000, say, for example.
Okay.
Now, the things that they knocked off was, did you notice that there's one row of seats in the back? So if you want to drop the seat down, it doesn't split.
Mm-hmm.
You now have to drop the whole seat down. So no one can sit at the back if you're putting in your box that you wanted to put in.
Okay.
There's also, if I'm not mistaken, there's no rear wiper.
Okay.
Right?
Right.
You spoke about already that lever. And the whole thing for me was the marketing, right? So... when you look at the marketing material of the Citroen C3, they have that cladding on the side, which you don't see, the cladding around the fog lamps, which you don't see in this actual vehicle. And I think the rims are even different in the marketing material. So I'm not sure if that's supposed to be the shine model, because this is a feel. So in Citroen's all their models, they have what's a feel, which is the entry level, and they have the shine, which is the top of the range.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the feel. So I'm not sure if they marketed as the shine, and everyone gets happy.
You know, everyone does that, right?
Yes.
I'll give you an example. If you look at an advert for Polo, right? it will have a top of the range saying starting from 2999, blah, blah, blah. When you come there to see what is 2999, it's the same story with a McDonald's burger. You understand what you see in the picture and what you get is two different things.
But they will say, like, even like if it's Suzuki or VW or whatever, they will say it's the GLX or, you know, it's a top of the range. Yeah. And the Citroen's marketing material, yeah, they don't mention anything about a feel or a shine.
Okay.
So, and at the moment, there's just one derivative.
Right.
So what they're selling us in the marketing material for 230,000 and what you're actually getting is two different things. And that was my biggest gripe with when I received the car, because I was like, this thing looks nothing like the what I'm seeing on TV and wherever it is,
yeah,
on the billboards. And then, like I said, knocking off all those other things. I was also quite surprised with the engine. I'm not sure if you were struggling like I did. It is a 1.2 liter. It's not the PureTech, which I thought it was.
Okay.
So Citroen and Peugeot have what we call the PureTech engine.
So what is PureTech exactly?
So the PureTech is basically like a turbo engine. It's their like turbo engine. It gives a bit more power, and this is just a 1.2 liter engine. And I found that I struggled quite a bit, especially going up the hill. I had to go down a gear. Okay, so it's manual. There's only manual available in it. There's no, so that's the other thing. The Shine model usually has automatic and the Feel would have the manual. Now, this is only manual. And normally I feel that when you have a manual, you somehow control the revs a little bit more. Well, me personally. And I wasn't getting that power that I was getting in the PureTech engine, which was the automatic in the previous generation. I don't want to compare too much with the previous generation, but I'm just saying the PureTech engine had a little bit more power than this.
Because I was almost certain that I read in the spec sheet that this is a PureTech. So I don't know if PureTech, maybe it doesn't mean turbo as such, right? But it's probably some sort of technology that goes into the engine.
No, it is the technology,
right?
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what I picked up, right? I noticed that if you're driving, call it not down sort of driving, but not like built up, but like, you know, you're getting into like main roads and stuff like this. If you're not, you know, in like a pretty high rev in the fourth gear, when you change to five, the car just goes numb. Like, you know, you really need to change down, like you're saying. But in total, I mean, I think it's a decent drive. I haven't done a lot of highway driving with it yet, but what I can tell you is this car is extremely light on fuel. So I'm driving, I think I just covered about 100K so far. I'm going to do a bit more of an intensive test tomorrow, but I don't think I even used like one bar of fuel yet. So that's been pretty good. The other thing that I really like about the Citroen C3 is the design elements. You know, it's just like the small things, like the way the vents are designed, the shape of the, it's just, it's so fluid, it's so nice to look at. And then obviously there's like a massive screen in the middle of the dash. That's also very nice, especially on the price that this vehicle is. I think that's nice. And then the most important thing for me, and honestly, I mean, this car drives nice. The way it feels on the road is so premium. It doesn't feel like a cheap car where you're bouncing around and things. You know the roads here and how they are absolutely ridiculous, yeah, right? And you can drive this car and you literally feel it absorbing these bumps. And, you know, sometimes you actually brace yourself if you see a bump. And honestly, this car just like eats it up. And I think that is what's going to be this vehicle's selling point, is the ride comfort. Another thing that I keep saying, another thing that I really like about this vehicle, it's a compact car. But when you jump into it, because it has headroom, right, it doesn't feel like, you know, it's like a tight squeeze or you like sitting on top of your passenger or anything. And from the outside, because it has a raised height, it almost mimics like a little SUV crossover. I think it has like 180 millimeters of ground clearance. It looks like it's not a tiny car, which is really nice. But when you start driving it, you have all the advantages of being a compact car. So in terms of parking, you know, you can like maybe chance a little curb here and there. Those are my highlights for the vehicle. And honestly, I think this vehicle is worth the money.
No, definitely. Like you said, they've changed the design now. It's a little bit more compact SUV type crossover. And with the extra ground clearance, that always helps, especially if you are a new driver. Mm. And the pavement just suddenly comes close to the car for absolutely no reason. You know, the road just moves. And like I said, the price is very good. I'm not saying that it's a bad car. It's very fuel efficient, like you mentioned. It's just certain things. If you didn't know those things, the car's perfect.
Yes. Like I'm saying, I'm like really nitpicking when it comes to like, you know, the lever, the bonnet release or whatever. But let's talk more about this vehicle when we come back. I think we've got one more air break. Let's go for our air break and we talk more C3 when we get back.
CII. See the whole picture.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh and welcome back to Bumper to Bumper. We are talking the Citroen C3, Jamil's favorite car at the moment.
So you know what, it's funny. It's not my favorite car. Am I overselling it? I just like it. I think it's, let me tell you something. A Polo Vivo is boring, right? Everyone is driving a Polo Vivo, okay? I honestly feel it's boring.
I'm shocked.
No, really. Look, I'm sorry. I know you're deep in the VW brand and whatever, but it's a boring vehicle to me personally. Secondly, it's a major high-risk vehicle. What you think you're saving when buying a second-hand one, you're going to go into your insurance on that vehicle. But for me, in the segment, it's a really, really tough choice between the C3 and the Swift. I do feel like I'm leaning towards the Swift. I do feel, but you know what? I'm not sure if I had to like actually spend this money. I might be swayed either way. Whoever is a better salesman on the day is going to take my money.
Okay, so is that your end?
That's definitely my conclusion on your vehicle. I do think it's worth the money. I do think if you are in the market for a vehicle of this, you know, price range and size, definitely worth a consideration. I do feel that.
But I always feel that whenever you're looking at a car, don't just listen to what we say. Go and test drive it for yourself because everyone has personal preferences. You might like the big screen, but other people might feel it's cumbersome, you know? Yes. You might think that the boot is too deep, but other people might say, hey, I need that because my luggage is big that I need to, you know, go to the airport with or whatever it is. So have a look at it. It is definitely worth a look at. For 230,000 rand, the new Citroen C3, what is their tagline?
What is their tagline? Freedom of expression.
Freedom of expression. So that is it. That is what we're concluding with, the freedom of expression. Not to take away from the Citroen, we as South Africa, you know how we like to claim a victory of stuff even though we don't really get involved. So,
what do you mean? This is a deep conversation to start 8 minutes before the show ends. Well, please explain.
So over the weekend, there's a show in the UK called Slammed UK. It's a very prestigious show.
Yes.
You have to be invited to it.
Okay.
And brother Tariq Musa, or some people might know him as Chip Musa,
yes,
of the owner of Chicanos here in Johannesburg. It's a
you'll see it on the highway, right? Just
yes,
after Marlboro.
The M1, yes. On your left-hand side, M1 South, you'll see it there in Weinberg. He customizes cars. And he was invited. So they saw he posts stuff on social media, on YouTube.
Wait, before you get on, okay, you're saying, I think you're selling him short by saying he customizes cars.
Okay.
These are firstly the cars he works with. A lot of them are like, I won't say vintage. Well, some of them are. But
classics.
Like more your old school classics, you know, your BMW E30s, your Mercedes-Benz 124s, you know, stuff like that. And when Ziad says customizes, it's like a full on. Like he does paint, he does interior, he does everything, right?
Well, the full works because he basically, the car that he entered, he built it up, like they stripped it and they built it up again, which was a BMW E9, right?
635, right?
No, 2000, 2600, 2800, what is it? CS.
Right.
But basically, it's an E9, right? You'll know it when you see it.
Right.
He built that car up, and they were invited to this thing. They shipped it over to the UK, him and his team, and he didn't just come in the top five. He actually won the competition.
So let me just find out the logistics behind this. He took his car from South Africa to the UK.
Yes. So wait, that's not all. The person that he bought the car from, I believe he was, I'm not sure if he was a doctor or what his profession was, but the car was still in very good condition. But the car had traveled to other countries before, because this particular person that owned it, we should get him on the show, Tariq Musa, to just clarify all this information. But apparently the car had been overseas with the owner, the previous owner. So this car has already been stamped and been serviced in other countries.
I would really like to know what's the process. I can't even get an extra hand luggage on the plane, and this guy took a whole car.
No, so apparently, because of the community that and the following that he has, somebody actually sponsored the shipping for him. They got it in the container, they took it over, and he was like stressing out because he didn't even have a visa at the time to go over, and he managed to go over. And because, again, the community, there was somebody in the UK, a South African, that traveled 8 hours just to come there and stand in front of the car, and was like, this car's from South Africa. The registration, by the way, in Kabi, which, you know...
You were nice enough to teach me, meant a hitman.
Yes. Yeah. So when they named the car, they said that it was just going to basically hit all the other competitors out, which it did.
Which it did.
Yes. So we're claiming that victory as South Africa, like we always do.
And locally as well, because if I'm not mistaken, he's from Pretoria.
He is. Yeah, he is.
Yeah. So we need to get him on the show. There's so much we need to talk about, because I know he has a YouTube channel, and I watch it quite, you know, regularly. The builds he does is absolutely insane. He's actually known to build some of the very famous cars that we see in YouTube videos and, you know, on the covers of magazines and stuff like this. He's also built, like, you know, vehicles for, like, celebrities in South Africa or high-profile people. I think it's definitely something that we should look into, getting him onto the show, talking about it. It's such, I mean, the one thing is building the vehicle. And that also, if I'm not mistaken, he did it in like record time. And you know, this is a type of vehicle that had the full treatment, full restoration, paint. He's got an air suspension. Air suspension is actually something we're going to be talking about very soon. You know, for those listeners who are completely... you know, uncertain what is air suspension. We're going to speak to someone who's going to break it down. What is air suspension? You know, what's the benefits? What's the negatives? Everything. So, yeah, Chip, air suspension definitely on the card.
So congratulations to Chip and his team at Chicanos. And just before we leave, there was a big launch this week. Did you attend this launch?
Absolutely not.
You didn't?
No.
It was such a big launch. It was the Checkers 6060 scooter.
I love that thing. I've seen it all over Twitter. I've seen it all over social media. I'm trying to get my two-year-old son one. If anyone knows which Checkers is hiding them, please do let us know. I want to get one. It's so awesome. Checkers always come with these things, whether it was those little margarines and shield and all of that. I honestly think their marketing is so on point.
But it's not only the marketing. It was actually, I saw a post, right? I think it was on LinkedIn. And somebody posted and said that her son has a respiratory failure, right? So he has a, what you call these things, something to oxygen to breathe, and he can't play like the other kids, like her other kids. Yes. We're not even talking about other kids. We're just talking about her other kids. Yes. And because it's got, so it's a scooter and it's got a little carry, what you call those baskets at the back.
Like a box.
Like you would have on your Checker 6060 yes. scooters. And he can put his oxygen tank in that and he can play with his siblings.
That's so amazing. It's such a heartwarming something that I'm pretty sure Checkers didn't even think about.
Yes.
But I mean, it's really touching the lives of people. But like I said, Checkers always has it from Little Shopper to the seedlings, always cool stuff. In fact, were you ever collecting those Little Shopper goodies?
Yes, my son did collect all of those things and he still plays with But they even have figurines now, the like Brad Binder. So you can get that as well.
That would be amazing. Another South African doing big, big things.
Yes.
Okay, so Ziad, we've just hit 8 o'clock. That's our cue to shoot off for the weekend. But it was a great show as always. Always love having Michael on the show. To our listeners, please have a great weekend. Stay safe. From us, the Bumper to Bumper team, myself and Ziad, assalamu alaikum, have and a fantastic evening.
CII, see the whole picture.